know the story. We've read the story a jillion times. Dawned on me a while ago, though, that I'd not necessarily taken those things I've heard, those things I've studied, and never applied them necessarily to what it takes to build a family. So that's where we're going to start today, okay? We're going to read a few verses together, and then we're going to discuss them, all right? Verse 26. Chapter 1, verse 26. Now, those of you who are just getting started, this will be the easiest place to find. Go to the front of your Bible. Go past the preface. Go past the table of contents and get to page 2, all right, of your Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he made, and it was very good. There was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Now, start with the very first thing we read. Look in verse 26. When God makes the decision, when God makes the decision to create man, he uses a word there that he's going to apply to both man and woman. What is it? We know as a result of what God did here, he created a family, all right? We'll do it this way. But he started with a man. He was going to create man, and he's going to create woman. That's right in the very first few verses here. All right, but what's the first thing it says? What's the first thing that's discussed about man? What's the first thing that's discussed about man and woman? They're going to be created in the image of God. Okay, now let me just fuss a minute, okay? Just a minute. I've spent 60 plus years going to church. You know that. And I have heard, I cannot tell you how many lessons, sermons, how many Bible lessons, how many preacher discussions, how many theological, philosophical gummings that where we talked about what does that mean that God said, let us. The moment God says, let us, caught all of our attention. Our theologians and our wannabe theologians like us young preachers, man, we wanted to talk about what that meant. And we developed whole lessons about the Godhead and God is a Father and God is the Son and God is all of that. I got no problem with that. I'm grateful to God that he gave me teachers that could teach me some of that. But you know what I missed? You know what I have not heard in all those 62 years? What it means to me that I was created in the image of God. What does that mean, folks? Now, let's forget about what, and I know you'll have questions. Some of you will be, this will be the first time you ever noticed it said, let us. God, singular, said, let us. And you're going to get all, what does that mean? Okay, we'll discuss all that if we have to, but don't miss the point. He created man in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean to me? What does that mean about me? What does it mean about you that we were created in the image of God?
In the beginning, we were like God.
All right? We were like God before sin came into the world. Now, when sin came in the world, did we stop being like God? We were separated from God. So what does it mean? We, because we're created by God, that's where we get this eternal nature, the divine nature. It's our soul. And that's what, sometimes it'll be called spirit, sometimes it'll be called soul, but it is the you that is you. And you are a divine creation. You are created in the image of God. You're an eternal being. Now, draw some conclusions real quick. If I'm an eternal being, if I am created in the image of God, what does that tell me? What does that tell you? I will live forever somewhere. And the Lord, of course, will teach. There'll be a forever glory or there'll be a forever damnation, but there is a forever. What else?
Well, He understands us.
He made us, so He understands us. Keep going. Excellent. What does it mean that I am created in the image of God? What does it mean to me that you're created in the image of God?
And I
like Michael trying to figure out what word to use there, because the more words we use help us grasp that. But what that, you know what that means? That means if I am made in the image of God, therefore I belong to God, therefore I am God's, He put His thumbprint on me, He's got His name written on me, I am His, therefore I have no right. I have no right to make some choice about me that He doesn't agree with. Now, can I make that choice? Yes, I can. But as surely as the Son has a purpose to do what? To rule the day. And the moon and stars have a purpose to rule the night. What do I have a purpose to do? Reflect, express God. So take that, what Michael said about, I think he was looking at Kelly and he said, whether I like this guy or not. I don't know, we may have to have some counseling about that later. But now folks, think about it a second. The person you meet looks different, smells different, acts different, has those markers, and we all have them, that we have prejudice against. And sometimes it's a skin color, sometimes it's a lack of teeth, sometimes it's a bad language. There's all kinds of things that throw up things for us that make us think, ooh, I don't want to be around that person, I don't like that person. If that person was created in the image of God, what does that mean? For me, what does that mean? We are alike, we are the same. We are created by the same God, so they have the same thumbprint. They have the same engraving. They've got the same identity that I do. Yeah, but you just don't understand. I'm a little bit special. What does that mean? If I'm going to use it about me, use it about them. And we've said it a jillion times, folks. We've said it a jillion times in here. In the 139th Psalm, in Psalms 139, we read those words, He created us, therefore we are by an act of God's creation good. Says so. Now, this ring is good. He uses words like good and wonderful and precious. I love those words. Those are God's words to describe what He did in us. First, I need to understand that is who I am. That is who I am. Even if I drop this in the mud, even if I drop this in the sewer, when I retrieve it, in spite of whatever stink, whatever vile thing it was in, what is it? It is still good. It is still wonderful. It is still precious. How many times have you, I've seen women do it, their ring slips down the sink and it gets mixed up and all that goo that's in the trap, all the hair and the fuzz and the creatures and the critters. And I've watched plumbers and I've watched men take those things off, dig that ring out. I've watched women take the coat hanger and run it down there trying to retrieve that ring. Why? It's nasty. It's dirty. It's got all kinds of slime and now germs on it. So what do you do it? It's precious to you. It's valuable to you. We are created in the image of God, y'all. Now, some of us have been in the sewer. Some of us have been in the mud. And all of us have been in the pig pen, if you want to use that illustration. So who are we? But who are we in spite of where we've been, in spite of what we've done, who are we? We were created in the image of God. Therefore, I am, in spite of what I've done, and you are, in spite of what you've done, we are gods. Not gods as in plural, gods as in apostrophe, yes. We belong to Him. We are His possession. We are His marker. We're His representatives. Now, how good you done? How good have you done? I haven't been a good representative. But my purpose for the rest of my life is that, is to be. So you want to start a good family? You want to build a family? You got to start with a man. You got to start with a woman. If you're going to have a good family, God started with a man, God started with a woman, and the first thing He did said, I want them to be like me. So let's put it there. God wants us to be like Him. The best thing you can do for your family is to be like God. The best thing you can do for your family is to be have those same characteristics, those same expressions, that same style, that same character of God. Now, give me something real quick. Most of you are Bible readers, been Bible readers for a long time. What does that mean, that if I express the characteristics of God, if I show the image of God, if I expose who God is by the way I live, what kind of things will people see in me? I'm sorry? Hi, how about forgiveness? What else?
Love.
What else? Patience. What else? Mercy. What else? Self-control. What else?
Compassion.
Integrity. In fact, you read these first few chapters of Genesis and you're going to find God to be righteous. He's always right. And He wants us to make right decisions. And those times when we don't make a right decision, He wants us to make the decision right. One more time. He wants us to make right decisions, but on those days that we don't make right decisions, then He binds on us the responsibility to make those decisions right, whatever it takes to make them right. All right, now what else did we learn about here? Look in verse, it's in 26 still, and then it comes back up in 28. What is the next statement? What is the next thing I learn? What is the next thing I learned that God had in mind for women, men and women? That we would be His image, but what else? Be fruitful and multiply. Give me another one.
Rule.
Now take that word rule for a second. And what do you think that means? Now, I know how our culture has taught us. If you rule, it means what? You have authority over it, and you're the boss. And if you're the boss and you're the authority, what do you have the right to do? You have the right to do whatever you want, and you tell people to do, and they have to do. That's not what this word rule means. In fact, look at it again and tell me what that word rule means. Aaron nailed it. Get an extra donut. It's your birthday. Take two. The idea of rule, y'all, the ideal of authority has never been, in God's eyes, just being the boss. Just having the right to say who jumps and how high. No. To rule over something And if you follow this through, all the way through Genesis, the first three chapters, the idea of rule is, it says, take responsibility for. It's not just authority. For instance, they're in the garden. They're in the garden, and there's all these trees. And you're in charge of them. So what do? That's what you do. You take care of them so they can do what? So you can do what? You can enjoy the benefits of them, right? If you, I've watched my dad do it with tractors and with pickups, with horses, with cows. If you take responsibility, and I loved watching him with animals when I was a kid. When you take responsibility for an animal, when you subdue it, when you take authority over it, what do you bind yourself to do? To make sure it has a safe place. You make sure it has food. You make sure it has water. Now, when I was a kid, I did not enjoy that. All right, Rex, you need to go out there, that pig pen, and you need to break the ice on that water tank. Oh, it's too cold. Those pigs don't care. They're nasty. But if I want that pig to feed my family later, what do I have to do? I have to take responsibility. I have to take care of things. So did you hear God? When He said, rule over those things, take care of those things, what did He mean? I used the wrong word. I gave you the answer. When He said subdue them, when He said take authority over them, what did He mean? It means take care of them. You want to be a good family? Then you got a man in that family that says, I'm going to take care of some things. I'm going to be responsible. You take a woman. Now, we're not talking yet about husband and wife. We're not talking about yet about mother and father. I'm just talking about the man that God created to build His family with, the woman God created to build His family with. He created them to be responsible beings, people who will take care of their business. Good point, isn't it? God gave us an ability to take care of things, and our response to that ability is our responsibility. What kind of things? Men only. What are some of the responsibilities that you have? I don't want theory. I don't want theology. I want real life. Tell me a responsibility that you have. I'm talking about a real serious life. You have responsibility. Leland.
Make a living.
All right. Protect your family no matter what. John. To provide a roof for your family. What's a responsibility that you have as a man?
Be an example for my girls so that they can see the kind of man
they... Oh, excellent point. Excellent point. And that's going to come up later. You be an example of the kind of man that they will one day want to be with. Give me another one. What's a responsibility that you have? Be responsible for my actions. If I make in a situation I'm not responsible to make the wrong decision, then I have to do so, whatever it takes to make it right. Folks, it starts with your body. You have a responsibility toward your body. It's got to have food. It's got to have rest. It's got to have some things. If you're going to fulfill your responsibility, you've got to take care of some things here. Responsibility goes beyond you, though. It goes beyond what God has given you authority over. He's given you to take care of. All right, ladies, and only ladies, tell me what you have responsibilities for. Now, we're not talking about husband and wife yet. We're not talking about mother and father. We're talking about the woman. What do you have, just women, what do you have a responsibility for? And I'm talking about your responsibilities. Good. Take the living he brings home and put it on the table. There you go. What responsibilities do you have? How? Make your house a home. What's your responsibility? Excellent. I heard, Shabaya.
I was going to say, nurture the good characteristics that you see in people and the things that you want to bring out in them. Nurture that by acknowledging it.
Excellent. You have a responsibility towards yourself. You have a responsibility towards your body. You take care of your body better than anybody else can. You know that's true. Whether it's just your personal hygiene, or it's your diet, or your need for rest. Oh, there's no rest. Then I talked to somebody yesterday, had a client yesterday. I looked right at, I said, what you're doing is wrong. The way you're treating yourself is wrong. Because what she was doing is she was refusing to take opportunities to rest. You cannot, you cannot, you cannot, you cannot take care of everybody in the world if you don't take care of yourself. We've said it a jillion times. You're on the airplane and the little oxygen mask comes down from the ceiling. The cabin attendant will say, you pull on that cord so the oxygen will begin to flow. And if you're sitting next to children, you do what? You put your mask on first. That sounds so selfish to us Christian folks, but the point is, if you're not breathing, you can't help them breathe. Now, is there a time for sacrifice? Yes, and you women especially understand that well. Is there a time for sacrifice? Is there a time for letting somebody else be for? Yes, 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 yes. But if you're not breathing, if you're not healthy, you can't help others. So you got a responsibility to take care of yourself. And you have a responsibility then to take care of those things that God puts in your world to take care of. All right. So God started a family. He started with a man and started with a woman. He started and said that I'm going to create you in my image. I want you to look like me, act like me, be like me, and I want you to take care of your business. I want you to be responsible. Now, time out a second. I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to be mean about it, but I'm going to say it from my perspective. I have watched a ton of us go through a ton of mess. And many times the reason we're going through a ton of mess is because we're not taking care of our responsibilities. And we start trying to take care of somebody else's responsibilities. No, you take care of your responsibility. You make sure that you are that responsible person and stay out of other people's mess until you have an opportunity, until you're given that opportunity, and then you have that responsibility. But stay out of somebody else's mess. You take care of your responsibility. Now the last thing, and I'm going to hush. When he said be fruitful and increase, the old Bible says be fruitful and multiply. You and I, we're old enough, we're grown-ups. We know what that means. What's involved in that? Think through what's really involved in that. What is God asking? Because honest folks, now, we're going to get more into this when we talk husband and wife, but God put man and woman together so they could have children, so they could increase the population of the earth. Understand that. But what's involved in God's commandment to them? What's implied? To love each other, to take care of each other. Not to demand, not to expect, but to enjoy. And to express and to fulfill that responsibility. But what else is involved in that?
I just thought of, you'll know a tree by its fruit. So you multiply, but you multiply yourself. God charged you to do this. Now you multiply that, charge the next person.
And what do you do when you have a bunch of those little fruits? Say it again. You take care of them. So your responsibility is not just to yourself. Your responsibility is not just to the world that you're in. The responsibility is to your mate and to the little fruits that you bring along. To what extent is that responsibility? To what extent do we have that responsibility? Now I'm going to have you go way out of Genesis. You get to go jump all the way back into Proverbs. How far do we take our responsibility toward the fruit that is born between a husband and a wife? Which would be how long? As long as I'm alive. To my children, to my children's children, and to their children. As long as God gives me any kind of influence on them, I need to pass that image of God and responsible character down to them. That makes sense? Not real. It's not real. Flashy, you're not going to read it in James Dobson's books, and I doubt if Dr. Phil ever is going to say it on his program. But let me say it backwards. Let me say for a bunch of years, I've listened to people talk about their families and the dynamics of their families and the mess of their families. We want to rebuild our families. This is where we start. This is where I think we start. Now, the good thing about me saying it that way is I've got backup. Because when God got started building a family, where did He start? He started right here. So it would make sense to me that if we're really going to rebuild our families, and guys, I'm talking about in my family, if I'm going to rebuild my family, if I'm going to repair the damage I did to them, then I have got to stop wringing my hands about what I did and get started becoming the man God created me to be. Does that make sense? I've watched single mothers do it for years. They'll wring their hands about my kids don't have a daddy. What am I going to do for a daddy? And and look what I did. And you feel guilty. Honest. You feel guilty and you start making decisions about your kids because you don't want to feel bad about those kids. And then as a result, you do things for them that you shouldn't do for them so they never grow up and become the kind of man they need to be. But you feel better about it because, you feel so guilty because of what you did. You know how you help build your family? You know how you prepare your family? You know how you restore your family? You know how you do that? You become the kind of woman God created you to be. Become the kind of man God wants you to be. Become the kind of woman God wants you to be. And live that way. Make decisions about life that way. And then be responsible. Whatever God gives you responsibility for, you be responsible. And He gave you a body, so I know you got that. And He gave you a job, you got that. And if He gave you a place to live, you got that one. And if you got lights and heat and air conditioning, you got that. If you got a dog, you got that. Now, I'll be real honest. For those of you who don't have a lot, I'd find somebody else to take that dog if I needed food for my kids. I'd rather feed my kids than my dog. In fact, I would feed my kids the dog if Melanie would let me. I was thinking, July 4th, we usually have a barbecue. Buster barbecue. Well, you'll never know if it's on a Wednesday night, but yeah. Here's the point. Let's be responsible. Let's take responsibility. Let's take responsibility for whatever God gives us to take care of. All right, I've said enough. We're going to focus for the next 2 to 3 weeks, God help us, on rebuilding our families. Some of us have got blessed families. We do. No troubles at all, just everything's wonderful. God bless you. That's fantastic. Others of us have got living chaos in our families. I'm sorry, and I hate that kind of thing. Some of us have got somewhere stuck in the middle, We got some good things, we got some bad things. The solution, I think, is in all of those are these two things. Be like God and be responsible for what God has put under your control. Take care of it. All right?